So first, I mean, a couple shout-outs. Trip and Sean Schumate are watching this right now from Germany, probably with just like an awesome Stein. Way to go, church, right? That's rad. Kelly Connor's out in Menifee right now watching online, so just what's up, Kelly? Might as well be in Germany. Might as well. That's how far that is. I know what you're thinking. Everybody's thinking, like, why is he up there? How did they let him? It's kind of like probably like a freeway, right? And you drive by and you're like, did that just happen? It might just happen. But also, it was just the only way to get Carrie Wallace, like my amazing director for Chills of Mystery, right? Wherever she is, so good. And myself actually in the sanctuary, shut down Children's Ministry, and so this is what it looks like. It looks really cool. It's kind of weird from this position, but it's good to be here this morning. And like all of my friends, just Shirley and Ubetas and Tsujishis and Danny and Roger, my good friends, Murphys, it's just good to be here. So what you see here is just what you're going to get. Ah, the Mortons. Is just what you're going to get from me everywhere else. Does that sound fair? So it's a message. I was thinking like, oh, it's got to be for the kids and gospel parenting. I was going to do that, but I thought I would let you see how I engage Scripture and the text. And so you'll get this kind of, this is just kind of how I look at stuff, all right? Titles, I don't know. You can title it, This Be the Verse. If you guys are note takers and titles, This Be the Verse. So 5 days ago, it was Christmas, and it was Christmas, and for Christmas, I used to go home for Christmas, so Sonora and mountains, I still go home, now it's in Brea now, in like a mobile home park, and I go see mom and stuff, and then people will come home to our home, but like 5 days ago, everybody like went home, right? Or people are coming back to your house, and you're going home, and home's like amazing, but like it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's just perfect. It's like the SNL skit. Like, it's just perfect. It's so good. But, like, the reality was, like, that was terrible. But, like, we want it to be so good, but it just doesn't match up all the time, right? So I'm going home, and I'm going to go Luke 2. Does that make sense? And you can see kind of how I see the Scripture here in Luke 2, 1 through 14. And I picked it because I used to go back home and just home, everybody has these different experiences, but we all experience kind of the same things. So we're going home, we're going Luke 2, and I've got two paintings in my head, okay? The first painting, Caleb, let's show them, it's a Thomas Kincaid. Thomas Kincaid, right? There it is. And anybody not know what Thomas Kincaid, right? Like back in the 1980s, every mom, grandmother's bathroom had a Thomas Kincaid book. Every coffee table had a Thomas Kincaid. If you were a Christian in Orange County, didn't have one of these, go to Idaho. I mean, like, you had to have one of these things, right? And he was known as the painter of lights, and it's awesome, right? But, like, everything about it to me is just, like, terrible. It's like, and everything about his style is just horrible. Because, like, that's what you get, right? Facebook, like, it's beautiful. Like, that's what you get. But it's just horrible. It's like, that's not really real, right? And there's another painting I've got in my head, and that's a Monet, right? That's a Monet. And that's what I want for us. And so I hope, please, I don't want you sitting here and just, like, taking in the show. Right, Sunday, and here's what it is. I want you to engage with it. I want you to wrestle with it. I want you to be provoked when you leave. I want you to be bothered when you leave. I want you to be encouraged when you leave. I want you to do something with something when you leave. Is that fair enough? So Monet is what I want, and I'm going Monet, and if you know anything about Monet or Impressionism, the concept is very much like the way that we approach Scripture. That you could, like, at any different time in your life, at any moment in your life, you could look at it at any different second, and you can see a different lighting on the haystacks You see a different angle on the cathedrals depending on what you like there. So impressionism is our key for your life. Monet for your life, for Christianity, for Christmas. Monet is what we want. And we're going to try and see if God can't paint, help you paint a better canvas, better reality for your life with that. And I'm going to argue a little bit. I'm going to argue a lot with Kincaid throughout, okay? So Kincaid versus Monet, here we go. Let's read Luke 2, 1 through 14. Let's check this out. We all read it, right? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This is the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town. They all went where? They all went home. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. Joseph went where? He's going back home because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who went home also. Mary's going home, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. I'll show you my hand. Jesus also went where? Home. Because there was no guest room available for them, right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, right? They weren't throwing snowballs. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah of the Lord." We just had Christmas. We all went back home, and it's like beautiful, but it's a mess. And Christmas is so gorgeous; it's awesome, but it's not at first. And like life is just beautiful because Facebook is amazing, but it's terrible, right? And so it happens at night. This is how I see the scripture. I think this is hope in the way that Jesus did it. It takes place at night. So in order to paint that sort of a stroke, okay, you have to have like a flat background, right? You've got to have something dark, something a bit bleak. So even if you want to go, even if you like, you want to go lighter, you've got to have something dark, right, for that stroke. And so for that kind of a stroke, I'm going to use a poem by Philip Larkin, okay? The poem is called "This Be the Verse." It's an infamous poem. It's one of his best, I think, and it's true, which I think is most important, okay? So Philip Larkin, "This Be the Verse." I censored it. You'll see where I censored it, but it's because there are kids here, and I'm a children's pastor, and children's pastors don't use cuss words. Okay. "This Be the Verse." They screw you up, your mom and dad. They do not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were screwed up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Now listen, listen. "Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can, and don't have any kids yourself." "This be the verse." I'm your children's pastor. Sylvia was she was this young gal, this young Hispanic gal, that I used to pastor, or went to this church where I pastored some 20 years ago. And she was like, we'd have these like midweek services every Wednesday night, and she was like, we'd have these afterglows and service, and we'd worship, and then we'd all be in the courtyard. It'd be like 11 o'clock at night, and still like a couple hundred people. And she was like the saddest, most tired person that I knew. You ever know people like that? You ever have moments like that where she was just so, so tired and so sad. And this one midweek after service, you know, she would just start talking to me, and she had this, like, she had, like, she was just kind of in and out of jobs, just couldn't catch a break, right? Like, just life. I know you don't know, but everybody else, like, your friends do, right? And she would just have this ex that was just kind of in and out of like prison, and just, oh, it was just not this great relationship kind of stuff. Her parents were just so, just issues and hurts and wounds and all this stuff. And this one Wednesday, she's like coming to me, and she had this like kid, right? Roman. He was maybe 6, 7 years old. And like, you know, like when like dads just aren't around with some kids, or even if they are around, but they're not around really. And he, every time he'd come around me, he'd just want to like sock me or something, because he just wanted to be held, right? And this one Wednesday, she comes to me and just Hispanic voice and just sweet, and she's just like, she's just crying and crying to me. She's all, Andy, she's like, I just want to start over. I just want to start over. I just want to redo. Right? You ever feel like that? Is that part of your canvas too? And she's just crying. She's just right there. She's like, I don't even care anymore. It doesn't matter. I just, here's where I'm at. I'm done with the Kincaid, right? And like, she's saying this. She doesn't even care. She's saying this, and like, Roman's right there grabbing onto my calf, punching me in the toe, whatever, right? She doesn't even care, and she's just saying, she's like, Andy, I just want to start over. And her kid's like right there. And she's crying, and she was like 23 years old. And she'd tell me, man, like, her parents are just insane and issues and wounds and all this stuff. She had this sister sleeping in the streets and on drugs, and it would just be this like super sad cliche if it wasn't this girl that I knew. But she's part of the background. What's your background, right? And in this passage, I see man hands on misery to what? To man. I think of all the issues that like everyone has, and how she feels like she has these issues now, and now Roman has these issues because of his dad and because of her, and she's like watching this child that she can't help but like completely ruin because of the things that have actually ruined her, right? And it's just this like horrible cycle that like maybe some of you know, or like you've got friends that you know that are like this. And I look at this passage, and I see people who are just connected to people, because it's like the Christmas dinner, right? See people connected to people, right? It's like, oh, I can't wait, but this is one uncle, right? Or, my sister, whatever, right? I see people connected to people. I see King David in this passage. Did you see him? We just read over it, right? Like, it's David, it's Bible, it's whatever, right? But I see people connected to people. I think of like the greatest king ever. I mean, this is like the golden uniter of the kingdom. This is King David, and I think of his sons taking advantage of his daughter. This is the greatest king. I think of like the baby that it had with Bathsheba, and just like, right? And then like Absalom like killing that son later. Like, that's like messed up. That's like family stuff, right? We all have like family stuff. That's what I think about. I think of the song by Leonard Cohen and Jeff Buckley, and like, right, the baffled king composing Hallelujah. And I think of this guy who could become a king, but he couldn't be a father. He just couldn't be a dad. And like, he passed on something. He passed on something, but he couldn't be a dad. And I see someone else in this passage as well, who I don't think like we get, like, he doesn't get a whole lot of like fair due attention, right? It's Augustus, Caesar Augustus, right? He's kind of this like very two-dimensional cardboard cutout guy in our plays, right? We just Facebook it, and it's cute, right? Maybe, or we used to do that stuff, right? But I see Caesar Augustus, and his dad died when he was 4 years old. That'll just like mess up somebody, won't it? Kind of jacks you up. I mean, it'll mess you up a little bit if if he dies or your mom dies when you're 35 or 40 or 50, right? It just kind of changes you. You got a brother, you got a sister, like it just kind of does something to you. His great uncle Julius, who raised him, was essentially assassinated right in front of him. And so he comes into power at age 30. At age 30. Like I was ordained as a pastor when I was 30. I was like, what? I was stupid. So I don't know nothing at 30, right? I don't know. Like, you ever get a job, like men, right? You're like, oh, I just started owning my own company. I was this age. That shouldn't have happened, right? All these like responsibilities and stuff. He comes to a power, Caesar Augustus, at age 30, and he's there with Mark Antony and this guy Lepidus, and Lepidus sort of loses his mind, and Antony turns on him, and they've got this battle, and Antony loses, and then Antony essentially kills himself, like commits suicide right there in front of the whole deal, and Caesar Augustus comes into power at age 30, and you know what he says to himself? He's like, dude, I gotta start what? I wanna start over. I wanna break this chain of like just murder and suicide and depression and craziness in my family. You guys ever have those moments when you leave what? We all leave what? Home, because we wanna start what? Over, because I don't wanna be like him, my dad, or her, my mom, right? It's a crazy town over here, right? Not my dad and mom, but right? But like, is my mom here? Hopefully not. Okay, so, because we just want to leave home. And he's like, dude, I got to start this over. I got to break this chain. I want to do it over. I want to restart. Sylvia, David, Andy, somebody, right? I just want to start over. And so like, he famously becomes known as the emperor of what? Peace, right? Like, this is the guy. This is the guy. Like Pax Romana, this is the dude. It looks like he actually does it, right? Men, women, dads, moms, you're like, I did it. I changed it, went to college, broke that chain, not like him. I finally did it. But did we really? Facebook tells us we do. But in those like Jack Nicholson moments, in those dark places, you don't want to hide about, whatever it is, right? We don't talk about it. Did we really? And so he seems to have actually done it. He seems to have finally brought peace, but he didn't. Because he's a human being, and man hands on misery to man. And the reason there's a census that Mary and Joseph are even affected in the first place by is because on the outskirts of the kingdom, there are wars. And he needs to constantly keep on fighting the wars to bring peace where? At home. And so he typically has to raise money. And the way that he has to do that is he has to fight the wars, and so he has to grab a census and has to have people come here and register. And so he's got to grab a headcount and taxation to keep peace, because in order to keep peace, he has to keep on killing people out there on the fringes, out there on the outskirts. And so even the Emperor of Peace has these dark edges around him, and that's part of our background. So this is what I saw in Luke 2, 1 through 14. And so then that act then affects Joseph, right? And Joseph, he's got to go to his ancestral home. And isn't this the whole point? All we want to do is what? I just want to start what? I just want to start over. I want to start fresh. I want to move away. I want to get out of the house, right? I want to leave and cleave, right, man? Well, I want to leave and cleave, although nowadays we're like, I counseled men who are like 35 and they're still in the fridge with mom and dad. It's kind of weird. Different message, okay? But like all of a sudden, the first act that they do to kind of sort of leave and cleave is go back to daddy's house. We'll talk about it later, but that just sucks, okay? I love my dad and mom, different relationship, but that's just tough, right? And Mary goes because she's directly affected by Joseph, and she doesn't have to go, but she does because she's awesome, right? And because that's what happens when you get married. We gotta go, dear. Right? Or whatever it is, right? We got to go. We got to change. It's a work. It's a move. We just got to do it, right? You think you get married, right, to start this brand new beautiful life. It's perfect. It's going to look like a what? Kincaid, right? But then you get married and into like two different families, and they're both messed up, and you're like, uh-oh, who's she? Who's he, right? You know it's true, right? We all laugh and we go home in the car. Mother's tells, oh my gosh, right? And we just get, we freak out, right? It's a mess. And now we got to move. She's pregnant. Got to go back home to the holidays, to daddy's. She shouldn't be traveling, but she does because Mary's amazing. And Jesus is only born in that town because that's where who went? His mom. Like, he's helplessly in her womb, being affected by her travel, being affected by Joseph, being affected by David, being affected by Caesar, and on ad infinitum, right? And so it just moves everything that's happening in this passage. This going back home to some place where we'd rather not what? I'd rather not, I mean, come on, right? I'll be honest, okay? I'll do the therapy for you, right? I'd rather not, I love my mom, love is so good, sweet, it's great, but it's just like she still tells me to put my coat on when it's cold outside. I'm just like, ah, stop it, right? And we're going back home, and everything is darkly going back home, returning to ancestral places where we want to move on and we want to pretend that we don't still have those issues, right? And then this passage moves us to the shepherds, and the shepherds don't even have a home. So what they do is their home is their need, their home, right? So like, they sleep wherever the food has happened to have walked in their walking. So they sleep outside. They don't have a home. They're maybe a couple miles outside the city on a hill. Right? This is Christmas. Like, I'm so with you. Like, I wanted to throw snowballs at you, and I wanted to buy a ticket and sit and have laser lights and fog machines and snow covered and check in and then leave and wear a special sweater and go home and just be like, it's so good. But, like, this is Christmas. This is God, and this is Jesus, and this is what he sends, and this is what's happening, and it's dark, and it's bleak, and it's different here, okay? There is a but. There is a but, I promise. Meanwhile, inside the city, Mary and Joseph are looking for a place to stay. Now, like, Kincaid would have you and I believe there's this, like, innkeeper, right, who's just very fat and rosy cheeks, and he speaks with, like, a British accent, right? That's what he'd have you believe, right? There's no flat hair. Try the second bend around the river. Thomas will help you, right? And we're like, oh, it's so beautiful, and there's got to be a little manger, right? But, like, what really seems to be happening is they're probably in some sort of, like, homeless shelter. Some, like, public restroom station on the way to Barstow or whatever, right? Like, that's probably what's going on here. And even that place has no space for supposedly, like, the greatest family in the history of the world. Isn't it crazy how, like, we want it so much better? We want it all, but our Savior and our Lord just had it terrible. It's just weird, right? And I'm with you. I want recessed lighting. I want quartz countertops. I do. I have those issues too, okay? So now they've gone back home, and they have no home within their home because it's not their home. It's actually David's home, right? It's not Joseph, so they end up where? With some animals in a cave. That sucks. That sucks so bad, right? It's supposed to be the most blessed life in the history of the world. And I'll tell you what, if you were to tell me like 17 years ago or 16 years ago that like I had to move back to mom and dad's, oh my gosh, just kill me with this dull spoon on my forehead repeatedly. It'd be terrible. That's just, I don't want to go there. Welcome to the honeymoon suite. There's my mom watching Dancing with the Stars, and we're just hanging out. We're like, ah, right? It was supposed to be new. It was supposed to be different. I wanted to start over. That's the most miserable thing that I could possibly imagine. And so they show up, and Joseph's like, think about it, husbands, men. Like, oh, let's just find some space here. Oh, that's a donkey. Right? We ever have those like moments? Sorry, babe, the countertop's going to be blue with, like, pink flowers all over it, and it's whatever, right? It's just like, ah, where's it? Maybe there's some space over here. That's a cow. Sorry. Where's his pride? It's gone, right? It's just gone. But on Facebook, right, or when we're at the coffee shops, and we just paint half the story, because if I really tell the reality of it, I don't know. I don't know what we all think. And then we get like all of these things building and building. We all have so many issues, and they're all so dark. And this is what we're this is what is causing us to move and to think and to act the way that we do. I mean, you think that you're doing things independently, but we all took Psych 1A, right? Blatchford and Skinner, right? Everything that like I do is determined by my hurt parents, my wounded parents, my freaky parents, right? And you got a lot of issues, and I got a lot of issues. And then if you have issues, you have to be worried, like, if your kids are smart enough to actually pick up on that. Do you ever have those moments, dads? You're like, I want kids so bad, but what if I, right? And then if you've got issues, you got to worry if it's even safe enough to have those kids, and am I going to pour all those things into my kids? And then, of course, we're going to pretend that we don't really have those issues so that our kid's going to learn how to, like, grow up lying through life as opposed to identifying with how Jesus feels about them and how he values them, not through their gifts or their beauty or their humor or their talents, but how Jesus thinks and feels about them, right? And everything just keeps on deepening and deepening. Like Larkin says, we're like a coastal shelf. Until. So I love this until. So all my friends know that, like, I've got stuff. And I hope you do too, but whatever, maybe this is just more for me, but like, until, I love the until. It's so good that there's this until. Until the shepherds, right, these homeless shepherds just interrupt our Kincaid. They expose our Kincaid, and I love that. So for like the past 7 years, I've just been working on God just exposing my Kincaid and blowing up my Kincaid. I'm done with the Kincaid. I don't like being around people who want to present their Kincaid. Just to be honest with you, right? I'm 45. I don't know how much time I got left. I just want to be around people who want God to expose their Monet, right? Because Kincaid is static. That's all you get. That's what it is. That's the only thing it looked like, right? Facebook kind of thing. That's all you get. That's the only picture that you get. That's the only story that you get. You only get that option, right? The light just kind of froze in the sky in like a key of C, right? Oh, I don't even know if that's, is that a key? C? I don't know, whatever. But like, that's what it did, right? Everything was just lovely, and everything was just beautiful. No, not lovely. Not lovely at all. Actually dark on a hill, Monet. Kincaid would have you and I believe in, like, naked babies, right? Like, just precious moments. Kincaid would have us believe that this is just some glowing, kind of hovering down sort of thing, right? We're like, it's just Kincaid, it's perfect. And like, the shepherds aren't really wetting themselves, terrified, falling down, trying to hide. Because that's what happens when, like, you live in just kind of complete darkness and just some crazy light shines and they're angels. You're petrified, you're actually terrified. And the scripture says that they were actually terrified. And then we're told that this is not some naked baby precious moments angel. When you really dig down deep into the text, we're told that this is an angel of the armies of heaven. And this is what's happened 5 days ago at Christmas. This is what is happening at your dinner tables. This is what happens in the Christian life. This is what happens in life. Like, this is what's happening here. I never noticed this until a few years ago. It says that they were the heavenly host of God's army appeared to the shepherds. Of his army appeared to the shepherds. And so, like I love Christmas. I love you. I love Hallmark, but then I hate it, right? Like, I love it so much. I want to do up my house. You've seen my house. It's lights. I love this. I did. I wanted the Christmas special. I want to sit down and I want that so badly. I wanted Linus to read that passage. You heard Linus do that, right? The kids are here. Let's do Linus, and then everybody loves me. Or whatever, right? Like, Linus, that was so clever. Used it. And I wanted to use that stuff, but like, Linus isn't there. Like, Linus would have dropped his little whoopee thing. He would have wet himself too. Everyone would have fallen apart, and Charlie would have said, good grief, right? But everything, listen, we'll try and land the plane here. Everything is different than what you think it is. Listen, like, newsflash, Christianity is not what you think it is, or not what we've been bought or sold. It's not. That's not it. And I'm so sorry for those jacked up Christians who try and sell you that stuff. It's just a load of garbage, and it's false, and it's a lie, and it's stupid. Many of you guys know me super, super well, and you know it all, which is just good. But this is the whole point. The whole point is that this is not some sort of feathery angel, right? With, like, maybe, you know, some, like, perm, little bit of product, you know? And, you know, white. I don't know if you know, but, like, all angels are white. Is it crazy how consistent God is with, like, angels being white? It's amazing. But that's a joke. Okay, but that's not this angel. It's not this angel. In fact, this angel is, like, clad in some armor. And what is really happening on this hill at Christmas time, when we celebrate dinner and our shows and our stuff and our traditions, what's really happening on this hill is that God has declared war against Satan, against darkness, against this inexorable slide to a deterministic, fatalistic stoicism that you and I all actually believe in, because we see our parents in ourselves, right? And we're saying to ourselves, man, listen, I started over. I left the house so I could be different and do it differently, but then why do I think and sound and act and do the things like she did or he did, right? And in this moment, when the army of heaven shows up, they're declaring war on the history of mankind. They're declaring war on the depression, on the suicide, on the stuff, on the sin, on the cutting, on the this, on the drinking, on what. It's still there. It might not look like a Kincaid, but God wins in the end. He's declaring war on misery passed on to misery, deepening like a coastal shelf. I love a good snowball. I love a good hot cocoa. But in the end, man, I want to know, like, that's what happened. That's what my God did. That's what went down. I'll enjoy the Hallmark later. But man, on Christmas Eve, on dinner, man, this is what went down. This is what my God did. He's not some pansy, right? And then what else? You know what else God declared? He said, man, look, the king is right over there. The shepherds, the wise men, they're not some little sideshow piece for us to, like, buy and make it cute in our nativity set. You know what that is? That's saying, hey, those are the king's men, and those are the king's women, and that's the king's army. And that's God. That's the king saying, the king is here. I'm here. We want to say incarnation, and I want to say the king has returned. You ever see, like, Lord of the Rings stuff? That's what happened, right? But we just, like, man, we're just like, oh, it's football season, it's this season, it's that season. Let's buy some stuff, and let's Amazon, let's make some good deals, and we'll fit in Christmas Eve. This is kind of neat. That's kind of, and he's like, man, I'm back. Jesus came back where? Home. Now, we all want to leave home, right? And this is my whole point. I'll be obvious. A Monet, it's beautiful, but it can make sense. And the whole point is that all we want to do, really, we want to leave, we want to escape, we want to start over somewhere else, right? And what God has done is said, I was here before. Jesus returning to Bethlehem is God returning home, because only at home, only when you go back, can redemption happen. Right? 2020, we want to start over, don't we? We want New Year's resolutions. Why are we never able to fully start over? Because we don't really want to go back home and deal with this stuff, right? But redemption needs stuff. You have to have a life, and you have to have issues that need to be redeemed. And if we're honest, we don't fully want to really deal with the stuff, right? I'd rather start over. I'd rather have a redo. I'd rather not deal with it. I'd rather work for 60 hours a week so I don't have to deal with my anger issues, my lack of patience at home, blah, 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 blah. He works so hard. No, he just wants to work 25 hours extra a week so he doesn't really have to deal with anything. I want to go do golf, I want to go do the cars, I want to go watch sport, I want to do this, I want to do that. So I don't really have to deal with anything. And God's like, I can't do anything with that. Redemption has to have stuff. And what I want to do is I want to start a brand new life. I want to start over. I want to start it over there without any issues. And I'm like, Jesus, let's do this. I'll follow you. You're so awesome. And he's like, no, you're fake. You're fake. I'm coming home, Andy, and you want to escape. But the only place where redemption is found is home. It's back where you came from. It's dealing with the real life issues, and it's not running away even to start over. To start over fully, you've got to go back where? Home. I get it. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's difficult. But God said, I'm sending my son home, and I'm declaring war on all of that stuff. So we got this, Andy. We got this, church. We got this. And then C.S. Lewis says, when that happens, when redemption actually happens, everything, even death itself, starts to work backwards. And then at that point, Caesar Augustus becomes significant because his reign is actually happening with the birth of the Jesus child. All of a sudden, David is not just some great king. He becomes actually significant. He becomes the actual father of the Messiah because his reign is happening when the Jesus child is being born. And his life matters. He's not just Achilles who can't save anybody. And now his sons, everything that is wrong with his sons, that was wrong with him, it matters. It's being redeemed backwards, and David becomes real because Jesus was born, and your stuff and my stuff and your issues and the dad thing and the wound and the hurt and whatever, and it's just connected because Christmas exposes it, right? Thanksgiving just exposes it, right? The Thanksgiving table, it's beautiful. It's no Norman Rockwell, right? And it begins to be redeemed and redeemed. Now go all the way back to Sylvia. And Sylvia, after listening, right, it was about a year and a half later, after listening to this one song on a Wednesday night, she comes out and she just starts crying. You ever have those like moments? You don't tell anybody about it. Some of us just start streaming, right? We just tears just stream. Some of us, I get it, we don't cry. We hold it up and our eyes look weird and stuff, and we don't want to do that. But like, you ever have those moments when all of a sudden, there was just nothing. There was no like teaching necessarily or what. It was just, you just felt the weight of this, the love of God. You're like, what just happened? I see him, I see it. And she comes to me and she's just sobbing. She's like, Andy, in that last worship song, I just wanted to bring him a gift. I just wanted to bring him something. Like she just tasted it. She just got it, right? And she's weeping because in that moment, she realized, oh, everything's being reversed. He went to battle. He came back home. And I'm letting him deal with my stuff, and I'm done with the Kincaid, and I want God to present my Monet. That's what's real. I'll close it with the last verse, and we'll have our worship team come up here. As they sing this last song, I'll call an audible. It might be the last time I'm up here, but I've asked a few people just to maybe kind of go off in the wings. And it's weird, right? Church is weird, life's weird and stuff. But there'll be a few folks like Daniel Steeb and Dave Hill and Lisa Hill and maybe Mache, Tessie will be rat, just like in the wings somewhere. Maybe Ann will be awesome and Pastor Dave, Heidi, just Pastor Chris, just in the wings. And if you want to talk to somebody, there's no magic word or stuff. But if you just got to talk, just for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and you just want them to pray over you, or you want to pray with them, they'll be there during this last worship set. So let's have the worship team come up, and let me close with this last verse. because Sylvia began saying that her boyfriend can be saved, and her parents can be saved, and she can be saved, and her son can be saved, and the thoughts can be saved, and the actions can actually be saved. And when that happens, Revelation 21, verse 3 says all of these things. For all these things are gone forever. This be the verse.